नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, beginning a new chapter. I'll read the chapter summary first. Chapter entitled, The Glories of Lord Ananta. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes Ananta, the source of Lord Shiva. Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet Patala. He always lives in the core of Lord Shiva's heart, and he helps him destroy the universe. Ananta instructs Lord Shiva how to destroy the cosmos, and thus he is sometimes called Tamasi, or one who is in the mode of darkness. He is the original deity of material consciousness, and because he attracts all living entities, he is sometimes known as Sankarshan. The entire material world is situated on the hoods of Lord Sankarshan. From his forehead, he transmits to Lord Shiva the power to destroy this material world. Because Lord Sankarshan is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many devotees offer him prayers. And in the planetary system of Patala, all the suttas, asuras, gandharvas, vidyadharas, and learned sages offer him their respectful obeisances. The Lord talks with them in a sweet voice. His bodily construction is completely spiritual and very, very beautiful. Anyone who hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all material conceptions of life. The entire material energy is working according to the plans of Anantadev. Therefore, we should regard him as the root cause of the material creation. There is no end to his strength, and no one can fully describe him, even with countless mouths. Therefore, he is called Ananta, unlimited. Being very merciful toward all living entities, he has exhibited his spiritual body. Shukadev Goswami describes the glories of Anantadev to Maharaj Parikshit in this way. So, text number one. We'll read word by word. Please chant responsively. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tasya Muladeshe Trinshad Yojana Sahasrantara Asteya Vai Kala Bhagavatas Tamasi Samakhyatyananta Iti Satvatiya Drashtra Drishrayo Sankarshanam Aham Iti Abhimana Lakshanam Yang Sankarshanam Iti Achakshate. Word for word, Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Tasya, of the planet Patala, Muladeshe, in the region beneath the base, Trinshat, 30, Yojana, 8 mile units of measurement. Sahasra antare, at an interval of 1,000. Aste, remains. Ya, which. Vai, indeed. Kala, an expansion of an expansion. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tamasi, related to darkness. Samakhyata, called. Anantaha, ananta. Iti, thus. Satvatiya, the devotees. Drashtra drishrayo, of matter and spirit. Sankarshanam, the drawing together. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Abhimana, by self-conception. Lakshanam, symptomized. Yam, whom. Sankarshanam, sankarshana. Iti, thus. Achakshate, learned scholars describe. Translation. Sri Shukadev Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, approximately 2,40,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarshana. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamogun, or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, 'I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me,' this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the Aham Brahmasmi and so hung Vedic mantras to mean, "I am the Supreme Brahman and I am identical with the Lord." This kind of false conception, in which one thinks himself the Supreme Enjoyer, is a kind of illusion. It is described elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Janasya Moho Yamahang Mameti. As explained in the above verse, Lord Sankarshan is the predominating deity of this false conception. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chahang Hridi Sannivishto Mattak Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarshan. And when a demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demoniac living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because this forgetfulness is created by Lord Sankarshan, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate that he has a material body. He is always transcendental, but because he is the super soul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarshan is sometimes called Tamasi.
Om Gyanata Mirandasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karahayam Dharati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Deshatarane
Tasya mula deshe trinshang yojana sahasrantara aste ya vai kala bhagavatas tamasi samakhyatananta iti satvatiya drashtra drishayo sankarshanam ahamiti abhimana lakshanam yang sankarshanam ityachakshate. Shri Shukadev Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, approximately 2,40,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu known as Ananta or Lord Sankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamogun or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, 'I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me,' this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord." So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by his potency, he manifests this material world for the upliftment of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by false ego. But Krishna is quite busy enjoying with the residents of Vrindavan in Gokul. So he doesn't directly manifest this material world. He has expansions and expansions of expansions and etc., who carry out this function on his behalf. So the first expansion of Krishna is Baladev, Lord Balaram. And from Balaram comes Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the subject of this verse. Sankarshan is also sometimes referred to as Ananta. So and then Lord Shiva comes from Lord Ananta. Ananta is the source of Lord Shiva. So in this way, various personalities are created in order to carry out the functions of manifesting this material world, maintaining it, and destroying it. And Lord Shiva is particularly assigned the task of the destruction of the material world. And he performs that task by meditating on Lord Anantadev, his worshipable deity, Anantadev or Sankarshan. So, Lord Shiva is always meditating on Anantadev. And from the forehead of Anantadev comes the power of Lord Shiva to perform his various activities. One of the activities of Lord Shiva is to bring together the within this material world the conditioned soul that wants to enjoy together with the object of that enjoyment. That is why he is called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means bringing together. So Sankarshan, Lord Sankarshan, he brings together, he makes arrangements for the living entities within this material world who desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, to fulfill their desires. And in this way, he keeps them covered over and because that connection with the sense objects always leads to frustration and disappointment. So he also, in this way, he punishes the sinful, demoniac, living entities of this world. This is his job. This is Krishna's plan. And Lord Shiva carries it out by the power invested in him by Lord Anantadev. So this ahankara, this false ego, this desire to enjoy separately from the Supreme Lord, this is invested in the living entity by Sankarshan, by Ananta. He's like the prison master who creates the prisons and hires the security guards to keep the prisoners locked up. He's like the governor, you know, the minister of prisons. Say like that. He's like the minister of prisons. He decides who gets locked up, and he punishes them within this material world. So it's described just like if you want to become released, if you're locked up in prison and you want to become released from that horrible situation in prison, you have to get the mercy of the prison master. And he will, if you get his mercy, then he will let you be free. So similarly, devotees worship, meditate on Lord Sankarshan, Lord Ananta, as the master of this prison house, and they pray to him to be purified of this ahankara, this false ego. He's the lord of this false conception that I am the enjoyer, and this material world is meant for my enjoyment. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. Someone who has this conception that this material world is meant for my enjoyment, they may also think that this temple is meant for their enjoyment. They may think that they may come to Krishna instead of in the mood of service, they come in the mood of enjoyment. That's also going on. Instead of Savya Darshan, oh Krishna, I'm here to serve you. They have Bhogya Darshan. They come before Krishna. He says, okay Krishna, I'm doing something. I'm giving you something. But in exchange, you give me something. This is Bhogya Darshan. So, this conception is, the source of this conception is Lord Anantadev, Sankarshan. He brings together the drashtra and the drishya. The drashta, it means the seer. He was the seer, and the drishya, that is which is to be seen. That's the, in this verse, these terms are used. Drashta means he who is seeing, and drishya means that which is seen. So the spirit, or the jiva soul is spirit, and the jiva soul is drashta. It perceives matter. The spirit soul can perceive matter. And matter is drishya. It is that which is seen. It is that which is can be seen and enjoyed. So this is the terminology used in this verse. So we meditate on Lord Ananta in order to become freed from this Bhogya Darshan. And we pray to him to take away our false ego and give us Savya Darshan, the mentality of service to the Supreme, to him, to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So, Lord Shiva, he is always worshipping Lord Ananta, keeping him firmly fixed. It's described here that not only is Ananta living in Patala, but he's also permanently residing in the heart of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is constantly meditating on him. So Lord Shiva, his business, he's a pure devotee, 100% devotee. He's actually Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He's the topmost of all devotees. And as a pure devotee, he's always thinking about how to bring the conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Krishna. So he displays many wonderful pastimes of bringing the conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Krishna. And he's always in these pastimes, even though he's always meditating on Anantadev, sometimes in his pastimes he appears to be forgetful of Krishna for the instruction of the souls of this world. This is the special feature of Lord Shiva's pastimes, is that sometimes he appears to forget that Krishna is the source of Ananta, his worshipable deity. And he sometimes displays what appears to be false ego. But it is simply in order to manifest his, in order to illustrate to the conditioned souls the need to get out of this material world, to give up this false conception. So there's one very nice pastime of Lord Shiva that's described in the Shastra. We know that Lord Shiva, in addition to being the master of the mode of ignorance, he's also the protector of the holy Dham. He's Krishna always posts him as a security guard to protect the holy Dham. So when you go on Braj Mandal Parikrama, you start, the Parikrama starts with Bhuteshwara Mahadev, right? For those who've been on Braj Mandal Parikrama, Bhuteshwara Mahadev starts and ends at Bhuteshwara Mahadev temple in Mathura. Because Bhuteshwara Mahadev, he's the protector of Rajbhumi, of Mathura Mandala. And one requires his blessings in order to have darshan of the holy Dham. And also in Vrindavan, there's Kameshwara Mahadev in Kamyavan, Chakreshwara Mahadev in Govardhan, and of course in Vrindavan directly there's Gopeshwara Mahadev. Gopeshwara, the protector, maintainer, controller of the gopis. So these manifestations of Lord Shiva, they're protecting Vrindavan Dham. So similarly, in Jagannath Puri Dham, Lord Shiva is protecting that holy Dham as Lingaraj in Bhuvaneshwar. So there's once when there was a story about how Lord Shiva came to reside in Bhuvaneshwar. Because Lord Shiva's residence is where? In Kashi, right? Lord Shiva, he's famous. Kashi is famous as Lord Shiva's residence. So Lord Shiva was residing in Kashi, and there was a king of Kashi, Kashi Raj, who was very much a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So Kashi Raj, he was performing great austerities to get the favor of Lord Shiva. So he performed tremendous austerities for many, many years for the blessings of Lord Shiva. And what was his desire? He wanted to defeat Krishna. This was the desire of Kashiraj. He wanted to defeat Lord Krishna. So he performed great austerities, worshipped Lord Shiva. So, who can understand the behavior of Lord Shiva? So he was being very satisfied with the austerities performed by Kashiraj. He said, okay, you want to defeat Lord Shiva. Okay, you attack Lord Krishna. I will be with you. I will fight on your side. So Lord Kashiraj organized a big army and he marched off to fight with Krishna. And Lord Shiva went along with him with all his bhutas, pretas, pishachas, all his soldiers to fight with Lord Krishna. So who can understand? Lord Shiva is appearing to forget that Lord Krishna is the source of his worshipable deity Ananta. This pastime was going on. So they marched off to fight with Krishna. And Krishna saw Kashiraj coming. So he took out his Sudarshan Chakra, cut off the head of Kashiraj, and all the residents of Kashi. The whole place became finished. All the devotees of Lord Shiva in Kashi were destroyed by the Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna. And then Lord Shiva apparently became very angry. Oh, Krishna has killed my devotee. So he released his Pashupata, his best weapon to fight against Sudarshan Chakra. But then he realized that even Pashupata could not compete with Sudarshan Chakra. So then he said, oh, what do I do now? So he surrendered under the lotus feet of Krishna and humbly admitted his mistake. He says he was thinking only Krishna can save me. So he surrendered at the lotus feet. And he prayed, I'm very much puffed up with false ego. So I please excuse me for my offense. But now you've destroyed Kashi. Where am I going to stay? I need a place to stay. So Lord Krishna says, I stay in Jagannath Puri. I stay there in Jagannath Puri. So I will give you a place near to Jagannath Puri where you can stay and you can reside there instead. And you can protect Jagannath Puri Dham. So Shiva said, so Krishna said, I will give you this place called a Kamrakanan, the place of one mango tree. Very big mango tree. Is a kamra. It was such a big mango tree that it was described as a forest in itself, a kamrakanan. So Krishna said, you can take up residence there. And you can protect Purushottam Ketra, Jagannath Puri. You can be the Ketrapala. Ketrapala. So So Lord Shiva came to reside in Ekamrakana, and he was given the name Bhuvaneshwar, and that place became known as Bhuvaneshwar. And he manifests in so many different temples. There's thousands and millions of Shiva lingas in Bhuvaneshwar. So Shiva was residing there in the form of his linga. And Parvati, she heard about the glories of this Ekamrakana, about the glories of Bhuvaneshwar. And she approached Lord Shiva. She approached that place. She approached Lingaraj to try to see, to understand the glories of Ekamrakana. And she saw this Mahalinga, Lingaraj, there. Lingaraj is the king of all the Shiva lingas. And it is Sita Sita. It is half white and half black. Because it is half Vishnu, half Shiva. So it is also that Lingaraj is also Vishnu is also there. And when, even till today, when the pujaris of Lingaraj offer bhoga to Lingaraj, they invoke the Gopal mantra. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they accept, even though generally Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not accept the prasad of Lord Shiva, they accept the prasad of Lingaraj because he is Hari Hara. He is both Hari and Hara. And he's worshipped with Gopal mantra. So so Devi worshipped that linga, and also she saw that she was worshipping every day that Shiva linga. And one day she saw that many thousands of Surabhi cows were coming to offer their milk to that linga. And one by one they would come and they would pour milk from their udders onto the Lingaraj deity. And then they would go away again. So she was thinking, this is very wonderful. So many thousands of Surabhi cows are coming. So she, next day they came, and she took the form of a cowherd girl, and she followed them to see where they were going. So she went in this way, and she was, two demons saw her, Kriti and Vas. They saw this demon. These demons, they saw Parvati in the form of a cowherd girl. And they approached her and wanting to take possession of her. And so she immediately ran to Lord Shiva and related everything. And she said, "What should I do?" And Shiva said, "Actually, Kriti and Vasa, they're sons of the demon Drumala. And they received a benediction that they cannot be killed by any weapon. So I cannot release my weapons to kill them, even though they deserve to be killed for approaching you. They deserve to be killed, but I cannot do it. So you have to kill them. So, without using any weapon. So, understanding from Lord Shiva what she should do, she returned to that place and she told Kriti and Vas that I will agree to marry anyone who can carry me on their shoulders. So that, oh, they became very enthusiastic. Oh, very good. I just have to carry her on my shoulder and then I can marry her. Okay, so they all got down and, okay, you get on our shoulders. So she put one foot on one shoulder of one and one foot on the shoulder of the other and crushed them to death in that way without using any weapon. So then she became very tired and thirsty. So after killing the demon, she became very tired and thirsty. So Lord Shiva took his Trishula and he broke a big hill and made a very big pond. And he called into that pond drops of water from all the sacred places. From hundreds and hundreds of sacred places, the deities of those sacred places were coming and they were pouring drops of water into that pond. That became known as Bindu Sagar. And then, so all the Tirthas appeared. And then Lord Brahma came and he performed an installation ceremony for that lake and Devi had her thirst quenched. Then Lord Shiva, he requested that he requested his worshipable deity, Anantadev, to reside on the eastern bank of that pond as Lord Anantavasudev. So Shiva installed the deities of Anantavasudev and Madan Mohan, and every year Lord Shiva conducts a very wonderful festival of worship of Ananta Vasudev and Madan Mohan called Chandan Yatra for 21 days. So this Chandan Yatra festival is performed personally by Lord Shiva at Ananta Vasudev, where Madan Mohan deity comes and has pastimes in the Bindu Sarovara. So, in this way, Lord Shiva, he illustrated the he gave the lesson to all his devotees that they should not be envious of Lord Krishna. That the result of being envious of Lord Krishna will be disaster, and that one should give up false ego and simply and worship Lord Krishna. This is the lesson that Lord Shiva is always trying to teach the conditioned souls. And Lord Shiva also, he can take away, by the blessings of Lord Ananta, Lord Shiva can also take away the false ego that binds the conditioned soul to this material world. And he can give Because he's the protector of the holy dham, he can give the adhikar to have darshan of the holy dham. And Mahaprabhu, he illustrated this by personally traveling to Bhubaneswar, having darshan of Ananta Vasudev, dancing in ecstasy before the deity of Ananta Vasudev, and having darshan of and praying, you know, praying before Lord Lingaraj as well. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions or comments from the illustrious Vaishnavas there? Who has the microphone?
Anant Deva is the all-powerful deity of material world, but we material. He's all-powerful about the material world, and Lord Shiva is getting his destruction power from him. Third eye. Am I right?
Can someone help me? I just need someone to help me understand the question. We're not understanding the question. You understand?
Anand Devi is Atma. Sorry.
Yes, Lord Ananta is all powerful. He's a.
But we, as a guest, we are totally ignorant about that. Nobody knows.
Please use the microphone. Huh?
Nobody knows about Anand Deva as a guest. We. In this world, nobody knows about Anand Deva.
Nobody knows?
About Anand Deva. As a guest.
Yes. Let me. Well, that's why there's a whole chapter, whole chapter 25 of the fifth canto, the glories of Lord Ananta. So Shukadev Goswami felt it was very important to explain to Maharaj Parikshit the glories of Ananta Dev, and a whole chapter is there to describe his glories, which are. Perhaps not so well known to us. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Here.
Hare Krishna. When we read about the 8 varshas of Jambudvip, 8 varshas, there is a sense enjoyment. In the higher planetary system also, 6 loka, sense enjoyment, with or without devotion. And in the lower planetary system, 7 planets, sense enjoyment is there, with or without devotion. Somebody having plain enjoyment, somebody having devotion plus enjoyment. Then why people on the earth are singled out? Why the people on the earth, our planet earth, are not supposed to do sense enjoyment?
You want to answer? I don't know the answer. You've been studying about the subterranean. In the previous chapter was so much about... I haven't read it recently. I just came.
Yeah, so subterranean the planets also, sense enjoyment is going on. In Jambudvipa also, 8 vrishas, sense enjoyment is going on.
That's the nature of this material world. Everywhere, up to highest to lowest, sense enjoyment is going on.
So then why people on the earth like us are not supposed to do sense enjoyment?
What do you mean? We're supposed to do sense enjoyment. Why? If we weren't supposed to do sense enjoyment, then we wouldn't have come here. We're supposed to because you know, Krishna wants us to do it so we can get fed up with it. That's what the middle planets are for. For us to learn our lesson, very good. So that's why there's a balance. On the higher planetary systems, there's so much sense enjoyment, but very little suffering. So one becomes addicted to the sense enjoyment and doesn't realize that it's a problem. And then in other places, in the hellish planets, the suffering is so bad, very little enjoyment, almost nothing. So we can't even think about what's a better condition for ourselves. So this is a middle ground where there's an equal balance between suffering and enjoyment. So we can understand that both exist and how to make a permanent arrangement by the association of the devotees. They come here because this is a very good place for preaching. And if we give up sense enjoyment. No, we don't give up sense enjoyment. Within this material world, you can't give up sense enjoyment. As long as you have a body, they have senses, and senses are going to be satisfied. But it's the desire for sense enjoyment separately from Krishna that we have to give up.
Thank you, Adam.
Please speak very clearly, slowly.
Prabhu, this pastime of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, and fighting with the Kasi Raj and Parvati and killing the demons. So where is the source from where you are saying this?
Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Krishna Katamrita Bindu. Something else? Another question? So many questions. Where's the microphone?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I would like to know, as Lingaraj had half Vishnu, half Shiva, so today in this material world, we have so many Vishnu followers, we have so many Vishnu bhaks, and so many Shiva bhaks. So they are completely two deities, but they say that you need love for both the deities in your heart. Vishnu as well as Shiva. If you go to see temples, the oldest temple in the world is Angkor Wat in Cambodia. So that temple also has a Vishnu temple as well as a Shiva temple besides each other. So for years and years and years, people have been worshipping both Vishnu and Shiva. And the love for Vishnu and Shiva has to be same. And your heart should always love both of them. So I would like to clarify, and I would like to know more about how you mentioned that you need, Shiva is just a watchman and he is just a protect. I mean, he's just taking care of the... Lok, the Brahma Lok, or the Lok you were mentioning. So, yeah, Dham, the holy Dham. So I would like to know and explain why the old people believed and loved both Vishnu and Shiva. And today in India also, we have so many Shiv bugs and so many Vishnu bugs also all around the world. But why Shiva is considered lower?
Shiva's actually, Krishna does not consider Lord Shiva to be lower. Krishna considers Lord Shiva to be higher. Krishna always considers his devotee to be greater than himself. And Lord Ramachandra, The gopis were worshipping Lord Shiva. Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva. Krishna is always worshipping Lord Shiva because he's the best of all Vaishnavas. And Krishna is very much, he's in love with his devotees. He's respectful to his devotees. He's devoted to his devotees more than the devotees are devoted to him. So you can't say that one is greater than the other. We understand that the source is one, and that's Krishna. He's the Adi Purush. He's the original person. And so many manifestations are there coming from him. And those manifestations are non-different from him. And there's many, many varieties. But there, and we consider them to be all equal. But still, we consider Krishna to be the original one. So that's the difference. The manifestations of Krishna, they consider Krishna to be, their worshipable object, and Krishna also worships his manifestations. So there's a mutual respect there. But we understand that Krishna is the original source. Another?
Hare Krishna. My name is Hari Swarup Das. And my question is, Prabhuji, it's been a long time I heard that Lord Shiva was not wearing such dress. Lord Shiva was not wearing the dress he's carrying. Lord Shiva was not carrying the dress. The dress he is wearing now. The dress he is wearing, like carrying the snakes around his neck. And I heard
I don't understand. Okay, you finish.
Let me try again. I heard from one of the devotees that Lord Shiva was not wearing the dress.
You go on. Then someone will explain. You finish your question.
And there was some purpose. That's why Lord Shiva carrying this dress. And for some purpose, he then some bhoot and rakshas and everything. And if Lord Shiva had some purpose for that, so this purpose is carrying for the future purpose also.
Not wearing cloth. Is that what you're saying? No. Couldn't understand. I've never heard that there was any earlier or later version of Lord Shiva.
No. His question is this. Lord Shiva dresses in a particular way, very simply with the skin and some snakes, for a purpose. And is that what is that purpose, and is that purpose continuously going on? That's his question.
The purpose is he has to inspire and lead those in the mode of ignorance. So that's why he's covered with snakes and scorpions. He's the leader of all these ghostly and demoniac people. He has to inspire them to worship him, so that, and he's a Vaishnava, so they'll become purified by worshiping him. So he takes on that dress in order to inspire people to worship him, who are in those lower modes of nature. Okay? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.